Good morning, church.
Morning.
Just checking out where the horse is. I was looking at the camera earlier, and you could see our VBS horse here, and I was at the back end of the horse and didn't want to send that message out. So if you overheard any of this conversation up here, I don't want you to be scared. I just heard my oldest son explaining to my nephew with the cow that this was actually a Chick-fil-A VBS. And on the third day, we'd be killing chickens, and that's not true, okay? But please sign up if you haven't pre-registered your kids. Awesome singing this morning. I mean, looking out, I would think the crowd would be twice as big from the voices I heard. I know it's just coming off a holiday weekend or still on a holiday weekend, beautiful weather. So God bless you guys for coming. I pray that it is fruitful and encouraging and challenging and all of that. Last week, we finished up the second chapter of Acts, and we reviewed in that, towards the end of that, the necessary elements of a successful church. And let me remind you just of verse 42 in Acts chapter 2. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." And we talked about how that was actually our very first church service here, was surrounded around that verse. Excuse me. Got a cold draft blowing on me. But that those are the necessary elements. And if we're doing those things, then everything else that we try to do through programs and through activities will be accomplished in that. Discipleship is accomplished in that. Teaching is accomplished in that. Counseling is accomplished in that. Building up one another is accomplished in that. So when you finish chapter 2 and you go into chapter 3, there's a little bit of time that's passed there. But we'll just dig right into chapter 3 this morning. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who had sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this group of people that you've called together. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move today, that like this man maybe had an expectation to receive something from you, that is what is received, Lord, would go well beyond that. Lord, that what we expected to happen today would be but a mere shadow to what you do in our lives. Lord, by the power of your word, we ask that you would change us today, that you would affect eternity today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned before this book could be titled The Acts of the Holy Spirit. And I've been challenged as we've gone through, kind of begun our second round through the New Testament of looking at things differently, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal things that maybe I didn't see the first time through. And looking out, I know most of you. I know your personalities. I know kind of what drives a lot of you. But something in this first verse hit me. Because how many of you guys are planners? You planners and schedule. My wife's hand should be the highest up. A lot of us, right? We have an agenda. We've got a plan. We predetermine what our day is going to be like or our week. Even when we're on vacation, we structure and plan out our time. I know it happens to me often where I've got a limited amount of time and an unlimited amount of things I need to get done or feel like I need to get done. And there's been times when even I'm sitting here and it's like, I've got this amount of time to prepare and set time for study, and there'd be a knock at the door. And I think, oh, Lord, I don't have time for this. I don't have time to minister to people because I got to prepare to teach or something like that. And the Lord always just wrecks me on that. But I want you to look at this first verse in Acts chapter 3. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And just some things that stand out. Peter and John, when we've gone through the majority of the Gospels, and we've seen the differences in these two cats. Very, very different men, right? That have been united together. They had a business together before Jesus called them, and they were fishermen, and we saw that sometimes they had great success together, and other times not so successful together. But somehow this group of guys, Peter, James, and John, we're brought into that inner circle, so to speak, of the chosen three or whatever you want to say, where they had this more intimate relationship with Jesus, and he included them in times that the others were left out of. But when you look at the personalities of Peter, who was always full tilt and action, and then John, who's known as the disciple of love, they were very, very different. But we see that even through the business and through the time that they were with Jesus, and now he's ascended to heaven, that these guys are still together. Through the Holy Spirit, through koinonia, through that fellowship, the differences have potential to divide, right? Has potential to drive us nuts when God teams us up. And I hate the negative aspect of this term, but there are kind of these holy hookups that happen, you know, that this could only happen by God, that would join these two guys together. And I've been considering that this week as I look at who the Lord has called us into ministry with here. And it's only because of Jesus that we even know most of these people, and only because of Jesus that we've been united with these people, and only because of Jesus that we love these people. You know, just very, very different group of folks. Peter and John, they remain together. And they've come to a place where they appreciate those differences and can see the differences that maybe have a tendency to bug us as strengths that might complement my weakness. And then the other thing, Jesus came, the new covenant is here, but they're still going up to the temple. They're going up to the temple at the ninth hour, which would have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, what's interesting to me is that 2:30 in the afternoon would have been the afternoon sacrifice. And they weren't going to the sacrifice any longer. There was no reason to, because Jesus came and was the perfect sacrifice. But they continued to participate in the Jewish things. They would go to the temple 3 times a day and pray, and they were still faithful men of prayer. And they went up at the ninth hour. So this was on a schedule. And I don't want you to miss that, because they had planned out their day. And they predetermined what they were going to do. It was the ninth hour. It was time to go and pray. And then there was an interruption. And I've entitled this sermon, I don't always title sermons, but Divine Interruptions. Divine Interruptions. I don't know how you look at it. When the Lord interrupts your day, and maybe we miss it. And that's what I want to point out with these guys, is they were men of prayer. You know, this was the third time of prayer that day. So they had started their day with prayer, and I'm sure asked that the Lord would lead and direct every one of their steps, that the Holy Spirit would move as he saw fit, and that they would yield their own will to the will of God. And we all know we should start our day like that. Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. But we get busy and routine sets in, and we think we know how the day is going to go. I mean, it's a holiday weekend, and it's one of the most beautiful weekends we've had. So let's go to church, get that out of the way, and then we're going to do our thing. And I don't know how many of you came with anticipation of the Lord completely changing your life this morning. But I don't think anybody in this story started their day with that expectation. But these guys started their day with, Lord, let us be willing to yield to your will. They had a plan. They were, and not just they were going fishing, or they were going to do this activity, and then they got a flat, or things got altered. They were going to pray, right? That was a religious thing to do, but also just an aspect of worship. So they were doing a good thing. It wasn't a selfish thing. It wasn't something taken away from anybody else. They were going to pray. And then they come across a man lame from his mother's womb. And if I don't use the right terms, forgive me, but he was lame. He couldn't walk. He was crippled. Couldn't move from the time he was born. Couldn't move. And in this culture, guys, I don't think we understand completely what that was in this culture. To have a son. To have a son was everything. It was a big deal. I mean, Nicole and I had two sons, and then when we had a little girl, it was a big deal. It was awesome. It was beautiful. We finally had our baby girl. But to them, that it meant who was going to carry on the family, who was going to take care of you, who was the name going to be passed down through. And this family had a son. But when he was born, something wasn't right. And his feet weren't fixed how they were supposed to. And it says that he was lame from his mother's womb. So how can I pass the birthright down to this boy when he can't even take care of himself? Right? He had to be carried, laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is a good idea. It happens across the world. That if you're in need or you're going to beg, go to a place of religion. Go to a place that honor and love God. And at least there will be some compassion. So not only can I maybe not pass the birthright on, but I've got to continue to take care of this boy. And he's a burden, in a sense, to them or to somebody every single day so that he can do this one thing that he could do is beg to provide for himself. Daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Now, this was not the first time Peter and John went to the temple to pray. Right? This was the ninth hour, so it was probably the third time that day. I don't know what day of the week it was, but it may have been the third time that week or the fifth time that week. And this guy was taken to the temple daily. And probably the same gate that Jesus walked past. And if he had been laid there daily, when we get to the fourth chapter, which don't worry, we won't today, we find out that this guy was 40 years old or over 40 years old. So through the ministry of Jesus, through all the times that these guys went to the temple, they walked past him. And I don't know how that would have made this guy feel every day as he asked for alms and begged. Maybe they gave him something every day. I don't know. He certainly had expectation of receiving something. It's interesting, this morning in prayer meeting, one of the guys prayed, Lord, maybe we receive more than what we expect from you today. And I thought, he must have read ahead. He must know what the Holy Spirit wants to talk to us about today. 40 years. And every day, seeing people go by and remaining in this condition. And you know what? Every time he saw somebody go by, he saw somebody else that wasn't in this condition, that didn't have that affliction that he had. And it was from his womb. So it wasn't like he went out and got wasted and got in a crash or something that he could blame himself for. Why would God choose this on me? And then this guy, who's the Son of God, walks by and doesn't heal me. And all I hear about is all these other people that he's healing. And you know, one of the things that stands out for me is sometimes the timing of God is as important as the will of God. The timing of God. Speaking of timing, it's the ninth hour. It's time to go pray. They got a plan, and they're not going to wait for them. It's time to pray. They're on their way to the temple. They're Jewish men that have recognized their Messiah. They can't miss prayer, but yet there's this guy in their way. This divine interruption that comes their way. And what if they tossed him a buck and they went in and they sincerely sought God and they prayed, and maybe they prayed for this guy? I mean, honestly, I think if they missed it, I think if they missed the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we would have read somewhere in here that this guy was healed. Because that was God's will for his life. You know, and God just would have used somebody else. And they would have gone and done this religious thing and done a good thing, but they would have missed out on all that God had for them that day because they were driven by their own schedule. You know, it used to be when I was younger, we had these daily planners that we'd write things in. You know, and I learned somewhere along the way to use a pencil. You know, because you'd be scribbling things out. And now it's so much easier. You get your phone and just hit edit and change things. But do we do that? Do we have a edit ready for when God changes things on us? When we see that he had a different plan for us that day, something that we never anticipated. Or do we just go to the temple to pray? Do we do the thing that was on our agenda and miss what God had? So a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, asked for alms. Okay, we got some religious guys coming, right? They're at least professing to be godly. If they don't act with Christian charity, then they're going to be hypocrites, right? So I'm going to ask them. We'll go with that. Check out this psalm to interrupt our service. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. What is it when you receive a direct order? You military people, you law enforcement people, when you receive a direct order, are there options within that? Not good ones, right? Follow the order or face the consequences. You know, it's interesting to me, this psalm, the steps of a good man are actually ordered by the Lord. Not, this is a really strong suggestion, or things will go better in your life if you follow this path. But the scriptures actually say our steps are ordered by God. Now, I think that requires some yielding and some obedience. You know, and that's what I mean. We all know we should start our day with, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. I can't say I honestly do that every day. You get busy, or maybe you start off even doing the things that are right. You start off and open up the Word of God and spend time and pray. But do you remember to say, Lord, I want to yield. Help me to see. Help me to see every interaction I have with people today through your eyes. Because I want you guys to understand that too. No matter what is on your schedule, if we all pulled out our calendars for this week, nothing comes before people in the eyes of God. His son came to die for people. So no plan that you have is more important than that. Look for God to send you these divine interruptions in your life. Allow him to order your steps and follow those orders. The next verse in Acts chapter 3, verse 4, in fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. And can you imagine this guy's heart at that? Because he's there all day, right? It's 3 o'clock. He's been there all day begging. And what do you do when you come across somebody begging? You know, you go to a light in Bangor, Home Depot, or near John Baps or something, and there's somebody standing there at the corner with a bucket or a sign. What do you do when you don't want to interact with them? Turn your radio, do something, pretend you're texting and driving, you know, something. So you avoid what? Eye contact. And not only did these guys make eye contact, but they said, hey, let's make eye contact. Look at me. So his anticipation there is, I'm going to receive from these guys. And he was right. He was right in anticipating that and expecting that. But his expectations were way too low. Look at us. Verse 5. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. What's his response then? Well, you ain't got nothing I want then. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. What a letdown. What a disappointment. You know, where could his mind have gone? I clearly have need. I can't walk. I can't work. It's silver and gold that I need. You don't care about me, religious man. I don't need a track or a word of encouragement. Show me the money, right? That's what I need. But Peter says, what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. A little better than a nickel, you know. But I want to focus too on Peter, guys, because this is the same guy that we read about before Acts chapter 2, before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that denied Jesus, denied even knowing him 3 times, right? Then the rooster crows, and then he gives this amazing message in Acts chapter 2. And tongues as a fire come down, and everybody from all the nations is hearing in their own language, and they're in wonder and amazement, and then the church that was 120 explodes to 3,000. And I don't know if you've ever had a religious high. But again, I mentioned some time had passed between chapter 2 and chapter 3. So they just experienced this event like they've never, ever experienced anything. Maybe you've been to a retreat or a camp or something like that, and just you've sensed the presence of God in a way that maybe has been greater than any other time. And then there's the next week. You know, when attacks come and life goes on and problems happen and there's the low. And I wonder, you know, these guys are just back in routine and going to prayer. And amazing things aren't happening. Think about the faith that Peter had to have. And I believe that it was a couple of different gifts here being exercised through the Holy Spirit. Peter saw this guy that he had probably walked past 2 other times that day and maybe multiple times that week. And he sees that guy that's begging, and the Holy Spirit says, you need to talk to that guy, or I'm going to heal that guy. And then Peter had to make a choice too, didn't he? I mean, a whole bunch of choices. I got my plan. I got my agenda. It's time for prayer. I'm going to stop. But then the Holy Spirit says, you need to talk to him. Have you ever had that? I mean, maybe not in this fashion. Maybe you didn't yank somebody up and their ankles came together. But how about in the grocery store? I met with somebody this week and they were saying they went to church somewhere and they saw somebody and the Holy Spirit said, you need to talk to them. You know, but maybe it happens at work or maybe you had an experience this weekend when you were gathered with friends and family and it seemed like there was an opportunity, but there was people around, but the Holy Spirit was saying, you got to ask them how they're doing, or you got to ask them about, do they go to church or what their relationship with God is like? And we wimp out. Peter had to make a choice. The same Peter that denied even knowing Jesus had to make a choice to this beggar that everyone else was ignoring and probably no one would notice if he just went with the crowd and went into the temple. But he had to make a choice. The Holy Spirit said, talk to him. The Holy Spirit said, I want to do something amazing in this guy's life. So he says, rise up and walk. And at that point, I mean, that's bold. You know, but like if you share a need with me or you ask for prayer from me and I come and I say, okay, be healed. That's one thing. Check out what Peter does next. Verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. Can you imagine that? If there was somebody in a wheelchair here this morning, they could not walk. And I'm in the middle of doing my thing, or it's time for prayer meeting this morning, and we're back there, and the Holy Spirit says, you need to wait. I'm ordering your steps here. I'm going to heal that person. You need to go talk to him. So I go over and I say, hey, guess what? God just revealed this to me. You need to stand up and walk. But then I take that next step. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gift of faith. And I think that required a supernatural gift of faith. I think it's verse 9. A supernatural gift of faith. Because can you imagine how disastrous that would have been? If he went to yard him right up there and he collapsed down and maybe pulled Peter down on top of him. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Verse 8, so he, leaping up, stood up and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Filled with wonder and amazement. Why were they filled with wonder and amazement? Had he told them what had happened? He's leaping, right? What's it say? He's leaping, stood up, walked, jumping around. He's showing that there's a dramatic change in his life. That's what they saw. They saw his testimony. They saw how his life had changed. You know, for many of you, I look out, or many of you that maybe somebody watching online remembers when I was crippled by sin, when I was in bondage to sin, and they see what God has done now. You know, honestly, I look at some of you and I'm amazed you're going to heaven. Because I knew you. Isn't it a miracle? Isn't grace amazing? People see this guy's life has changed radically. He hasn't said a word. I'll tell you what, though, it can happen in the opposite of that as well. We make a profession of faith, or we say that we're religious, And then people watch our lives and they see our testimony. And maybe our testimony doesn't match up with our words. You know what I love about this guy? What was he doing? I mean, we think about, Lord, I don't have all these talents, or I could never stand up in front of people and talk. That was me. I've talked about that before. Testifying in court for the first time as a juvenile probation officer with like 10 people in the courtroom, and my lips quivering, and my knee actually bouncing so much it was hitting the stand. I was terrified. God, I don't have gifts and I don't have abilities. What did this guy have? He could jump. He was leaping. Now, if Peter and John were approaching the temple and they were leaping, would that have had any effect on people other than, look at that weirdo, religious freak, right? This guy used, God gave him leaping. God gave him walking. So he used it for him. He did those things. And when people saw those things in his life that God gave him, when they saw those changes, and he didn't sit there and say, you know what? I used to be this. I used to do that. Let me tell you, let me take an hour and a half and tell you about all the bad stuff, and then now I can leap and walk. People knew. The people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms. It was this guy. And now he's totally changed. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. It reminds me of a Psalm of David, Psalm 40. Just the first couple verses of that. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. When Peter said, I ain't got no money, he could have said, God, you haven't heard my cry. You haven't met my need. You don't care about me. And I don't know what would have happened in that interaction. Or maybe that morning he could have said that and said, you know what, I've been coming here for 40 years and I'm done. I'm done, God. I've given up. But he kept going. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Verse 2 in Psalm 40. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. That's some of our stories. That's some of your stories. Out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Check out verse 3. He's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. And then this is that guy's testimony. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Many will see our testimonies. I had a conversation this week with somebody else about saying, you have no idea how many people are watching your life. As a result of your profession of faith, you have no idea. And the impact of that, the choices that we make, do we allow God to order our steps? Do we yield our will to his because many will see it for good or bad? Many will see your life. And if we're allowing him to order our steps, they'll see it and fear and trust the Lord. Now, verse 11 says, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. What? Any idea why he was holding on to Peter and John? I mean, he could walk now, right? I don't know if it was sea legs still or... Come on, I'm trying to learn from you too. Any idea? Doesn't say. Appreciation. Yeah, that's probably very real. You know, he had some expectation of what was going to happen that day, and God just blew his mind. And these were the guys that God used. So I want to be with them. I want to continue to learn from them. They obviously have something that I don't have. Silver and gold I have none, but what I do have, I'll give to you. And he wanted to be a part of that. And also, this guy sat there every day begging and was essentially ignored. And now, everyone was amazed. And crowds gathered. probably intimidating, right? All the focus was on him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this?" You know what? Peter is in a dangerous spot here. Think about what just happened. How many times, you don't have to tell me how many times, but when is the last time you came across somebody with an infirmity like this, they couldn't walk, and you were like, come on, enough's enough, you're healed. And you yanked them up. Or God used you in this kind of way. Why is it a dangerous spot? What's the temptation there? That was a pretty big deal. It's pretty awesome. You should have seen me. You know? I did have to make a choice, and I can't say I was 100%, but then I just, if you guys prayed like I pray, God would just use you in that way. You know, so maybe it's not even like I healed this guy, because that's a little gross, right? I mean, we want to give glory to God. God is very specific in the scriptures that he will not share his glory with anyone. So Peter and John, they knew enough at this point to not try to rob God of his glory, like, and claim that they did this. But there is that temptation of somehow crediting yourself. Well, I had just finished fasting. Or like I said, we were on our way to pray. And when you're following God, and then he just puts you in these spots where you can be used. And if you were more like me, he's in a dangerous spot. But the other thing I love about this is he sees this miraculous thing happen and the people gather and he takes advantage of the opportunity. Because faith doesn't come, guys, from seeing miraculous things. And maybe this would have been a great time to have a testimonial, you know, and let this guy tell his story. But faith doesn't even come by that, right? Romans says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So Peter takes this opportunity to preach. This crowd gathers and, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? Why are your eyeballs on us at all? Jesus just walked the earth and healed over and over and over again. Well, why wouldn't you just think this was him? If he could do it here, he can do it from afar." Verse 13 says, "The God of Abraham." And I love that, because who's he talking to? Jews, right? He's talking to the religious guys that are showing up to temple, right? So he wants them to know, "I'm talking about your God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus." And that's the other awesome thing about this, is this message wasn't at all about Peter. And he's connecting to their Old Testament God, presents Jesus as a servant. And this whole thing is about Jesus. "Glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go." You guys notice something else? Peter's boldness is growing here. And the day of Pentecost, that sermon, I think he said "you" like once. But check out this sermon. "Servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate." And you know what? Pilate was even willing to let him go. Verse 14, but "you denied the Holy One and the just, and ask for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead," which obviously couldn't stay dead for long. "God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." Imagine what the Holy Spirit is doing here. Because have you ever been in that spot where maybe you're so strong-willed, somebody confronts you with something, or somebody reminds you of a scripture, and you just dig your feet in and get stupider and stupider and stupider. So much so that maybe not in front of anybody else, but when you're by yourself or at night when you're with God, it's like, how in the world did I get here? Because look what he says. It, Pilate was going to let him go. You denied him and you actually asked for a murderer in his place. Like, how ridiculous is that? Ask for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life. You did. Whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. In his name, through faith, in his name, has made this man strong. In Jesus' name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Even the faith was a gift from Jesus. Verse 17, yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. Does that sound familiar? I mean, he's saying, God, you're guilty of sin. And he had the boldness to do that. He had the boldness to say, you did this. You've sinned against God. But then he says, you know, I know you didn't fully get it. I know it was done in ignorance. Like Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You did this. You did it in ignorance. It doesn't excuse it. It's still sin. There's still a consequence. A little different than choosing evil, willful disobedience. Verse 18, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, thus he has thus fulfilled. This happened. You guys did this. You did it ignorantly, but God's still going to use that in an amazing way. It was the fulfillment of prophecy, he says. Verse 19, in conclusion, he says, repent. Therefore, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that is my prayer for all of you here. It's my prayer for anyone listening online, that you would fully experience these times of refreshing. Maybe you have some expectation of God or of religion or of coming to church, but that God would give you that refreshing that's available through the cleansing of sin. Repent. Change your mind. Change your direction. Change your mind about Jesus. Change your direction from going down this path of sin to running towards God, that your sins might be blotted out. And that's easy to read over. But ink today, when we write things, our ink actually has an acidic component to it that makes it bite into paper and stick. And they didn't have that same thing there. So when they would write on parchment, it could be blotted out, meaning that you could take some water and wipe it off. It wouldn't stick. And that's the idea. Repent. Change your mind about God. Change your direction on sin. Be converted. And that should be a familiar verse to you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're not a rehabbed. You're not a new and improved version of you. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's what he's saying. Be converted. Don't be what you once were. Be something different. When they saw the testimony of this guy, he was something different. That your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. We'll finish this up. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, from heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from the brethren. There's no controversy in who that prophet is. He's saying it's Jesus. Him you shall hear in all things, whoever he says to you, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. There's the boldness of truth. I want you to experience the refreshing that comes from repentance and being with Jesus. But if not, those who won't hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in all your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Peter and John, on their way to prayer, they had a plan that day. And they had this divine interruption. And they listened to it. They let God order their steps. They changed their plan. They aborted their plan completely. And they let God use them. And how easy would it have been for them to do this amazing thing, and God gave them a supernatural word of knowledge that this guy was going to be healed, and then God supernaturally gave him the faith to reach down and lift up his hand, because he wasn't healed until that happened, right? It took faith and it took obedience on his part, and he lifted him up, and somewhere in that process, his ankles became strong and he stood. And then that guy for 40 years who had just begged and asked alms, used what God gave him. He gave him leaping and walking. And those things were used miraculously by God. And you know, if it was me, I would have high-fived John and gone in to pray probably. But they continued to seek God. And what else? You did something amazing, but I still have expectation, God. What do you have for me? And then the people gathered. Do you think Peter and John, they thought they were going to pray? They didn't think they were going to be involved or be used by God to heal that guy. And I'm sure Peter didn't know that he was going to preach to thousands that day. When we get into chapter 4, and I said we wouldn't. When we get into chapter 4, we're going to see the response of this obedience. Right? That church that was 120 and then grew to 3,000 is now 5,000. Like I said, they could have high-fived each other. Hey, let's catch the end of prayer. That's my challenge this morning, guys. That we would start our day, that we would end our day. Lord, not my will be done, but yours. That we would recognize the eyeballs that are on us and the impact our testimony has. And let God use all of it. Let God hit the edit on your calendar. And use divine interruptions in your life to accomplish his plan through you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, what an amazing story. What an amazing glimpse of history. Amazing birth and growth of the church through two guys brought together by you, Lord, obeying you. They were walking to church, and you had a different plan. They were walking to church, and they pray with a guy, and then thousands get saved as a result of obedience. Lord, help our vision to not be so small. Help us to have supernatural faith in you, Lord, in you, not in any gift or any ability that you've given us. Let us be willing to use our leaping or our weakness or whatever it is that you've given us, Lord, for your glory. May we experience the refreshment that comes from full conversion, full repentance to you, yielding to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.